Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Evanston. This Sunday's sermon was given by Associate Pastor Henry Coates. If you'd like more information about First Presbyterian Church of Evanston, please visit firstpresevanston.org.
Our scripture reading today is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, in the New Testament section of our Red Bibles on page 215. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Father God, prepare our heart to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing, we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. So the question I want to ask you all is this. This is the Sunday after the 150th anniversary of our church. So the question is, if you were the preacher, what would you get up and talk about after the great 150th birthday party you threw the weekend prior? Well, we've been talking about Jesus for the past 150 years, and so I don't see any reason to stop right now. Our faith in Jesus and our hope that his promises remain true will lead us into the future. Now, this is what we have believed these past 150 years and will continue to believe. But I just have a question in that. The question that always sits in the back of my mind, perhaps in the back of my heart, is where are we going? I'm not just talking about us as a church. I'm talking about us as people, as men and women. Where am I going? Where are you going? What are we all about? Where is God leading us? Because sometimes it can feel really hard to know what's going on and where we are headed to. Now, these can be scary questions because none of us can see the future. Now, our passage in Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 7, opens with a beautiful statement. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the rest of Hebrews chapter 11 goes into the description of what faithful assurance of things hoped for looks like in the lives of some of the grand characters in the Old Testament. Now, when we take a good look at Hebrews 11, it can give us hope. When we are able to realize that our lot in life is not so different from the situation faced by even these biblical pillars of the faith, maybe we can allow ourselves to be comforted and encouraged by the hope that faith gives. It is too easy, of course, to assume that being one of God's holy saints is just a wonderful thing all along the way. It's all too easy to imagine that the roads traveled by people like Abel or Noah or all the others listed in Hebrews 11 were smoother than most roads, free of spiritual potholes and sharp, dangerous curves. But it's not true. I mean, just look at Abel, one of the sons of Adam and Eve. Genesis 4 tells us that he was murdered by his brother for his proper sacrifice to God. His sacrifice, offered in faith, accepted by God, got him killed. And we are told to look at that and have hope. Noah built the ark, a story told to us in Genesis 6 through 9. But by all evidence, his life was terrible. Here we see an example of persistent faith in the absence of any visible evidence. All that Noah had was the word of God. For years he built that ark. For years he proclaimed the coming judgment. For years he endured the scorn of his people who thought him crazy for his faith. For years he interceded with God on behalf of the people, and yet God did not answer. As writer Frederick Buechner observed, had you been able to tap any of these so-called heroes of the faith on the shoulder at any given point in their faith journeys to ask them how it felt to be specially chosen by God, their answers most likely would have surprised you. Because to a person, these saints would have told you that it's tough. That dark nights of the soul were common, that they went for long stretches in between hearing from God or seeing some tangible sign that they were on the right path. Now ask any follower of Jesus, and if they're being honest with themselves and honest with God, you'll get the same answer. Look at Hebrews 11:13. It's a little bit past our section today, but it reads, "All of these died in faith without having received the promises." That's a pretty stark statement. All of these died in faith without having received the promises. It goes on to say that in the end, they held on to the promises, but they did not see the promise fully fulfilled. Hebrews 11 poetically yet bluntly admits, "When the sun set on each of their lives and they prepared to exhale their final breath, none of them were exactly home yet. None really saw the full riches of anything God had ever promised. God's promises remained for them just that to the very end. Promises." Now, you can't prove a promise, right? Likewise, you can't prove faith. Faith isn't a mathematical equation. Hope isn't something achieved by long division or calculus. To quote Frederick Buechner again, "Faith is better understood as a verb rather than as a noun, as a process rather than a proof. It is on again, off again, rather than once for all. Faith is not being sure where you are going, but going anyway. A journey without maps, but knowing that your destination is secure, for the one leading you is faithful." You can't prove a promise. You can't prove faith. But you can know Jesus. Faith means trust. Faith means trusting God. Our lives can be hard. Now, I know for some of y'all out there, life is hard. It's very hard right now. It was hard to get out of bed to come to church this morning, yet here you are. Faith is trusting someone other than yourself. Trust is the act in which a person relies on the faithfulness of another, of someone else. When I say, when we say, I believe, we are saying, I trust, okay? Whenever we say, I believe, we are saying, I trust. No more must I dream in trusting in myself to excuse myself, to attempt to save and preserve myself. I believe not in myself. I believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Faith just isn't faith. It is faith in God. Do you see the distinction? Faith just isn't faith. It's faith in God. As John Calvin once observed, now we shall possess a right definition of faith if we call it a firm and certain knowledge of God's benevolence toward us, founded upon the truth of the freely given promise in Christ, both revealed to our minds and sealed upon our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you know this, but I am an amateur power lifter. Now, what this means is that I lift really heavy weights willingly and for fun. My wife thinks I'm kind of nuts, but I really enjoy doing this. One of my favorite lifts is the squat. And when I'm squatting, I place a heavy barbell across my back. I squat on down, and I press myself back up again. And I think that when you are squatting at any weight that's heavy, it provides a good illustration of what faith is and what hope is, as faith, according to Hebrews 11:1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When you're squatting heavy, you have to do it surrounded by spotters. You can't lift heavy on your own. You have a spotter on each end of the barbell, ready to catch the weight if it proves too heavy for you. And you have a spotter behind you, ready to catch you if the weight causes you to crumble. Now, a couple weeks ago, I was squatting about 500 pounds. Now, when you're doing this, you have to have faith that your spotters are going to be there for you, because it will end badly if they aren't. I go up to the bar, I get under it, I lift it up, I walk it back, and I do my squat. And I get all the way down for one squat, two squat, three squat, aiming for five, but on the fourth squat. Well, I realized that I had a quarter a ton on my back, and I began to rock forward. There's something thrilling about knowing that you have 500 pounds on your back and you're the only one who can get it up. But when you're down there and you start to rock, well, you get a little afraid. Faith is trusting that your spotters are going to be there. Hope is when you are falling, you hope to God they'll catch the weight and you. And so they did. My faith was rewarded. My hope was not in vain. My faith in that moment was not in myself, but in my spotters to make sure I didn't go squish squash. It could have happened, but it didn't, because they were there, and my hopes were not dashed. Now, John Calvin didn't ever talk about powerlifting, but he did make a helpful distinction between faith and hope. And I want to draw it to your attention. It's a little bit longer of a quote, and I can give it to you if you ask me afterwards. I'll send it to you. But I think it's the most helpful distinction between faith and hope that I came about when I was doing my research for this sermon this morning. He wrote, "Faith believes God to be true. Hope awaits the time when his truth shall be manifested. Faith believes that he is our Father. Hope anticipates that he will ever show himself to be a Father toward us. Faith believes that eternal life has been given to us. Hope anticipates that it will be at some time revealed. Faith is the foundation upon which hope rests. Hope nourishes and sustains faith. Faith is the foundation upon which hope rests. Hope nourishes and sustains faith. And that leads to a question, at least for me, perhaps for you. What are the things or thing being hoped for that faith assures? If Jesus is what faith is all about, what are we hoping for when we accept Jesus? Well, in a word, salvation, to be saved. To be saved from that which breaks us, that which oppresses us, that which destroys it. It can be unemployment. It can be depression. It can be the effects of systemic racism and sexism. It can be a broken world and a culture that seems to be forever turning in on itself. We look to God for salvation, to save us from that which destroys us. But to quote a biblical theologian friend of mine who works in an area of the world that if his faith was known to authorities, it would lead to his censure and possibly much, much worse. He wrote in a recently published book, "Salvation is not simply saved from, but also saved to. Not simply delivery from sin and death, but restoration to fullness of life. Not simply suffering servant, but also reigning king. Not simply death and crucifixion, but also resurrection and consummation. Not simply forgiveness, but also regeneration. Not simply wrong and sin overcome, but also life and life abundant." And this is what we believe as Christians. This is what we trust, that these are the promises of good. Excuse me, that these are the promises of God. That God is not only with us, but in Jesus Christ, God is for us. This is what we believe. And if we can say anything about God, anything about at all about who our God is, we can say this: our God is a God who keeps his promises. You can rest your life on that. You can place your faith in him. This I believe. Now, I want to tell you a story now, a true story that takes place in 1946. Now, the Second World War was over and Germany lost. Germany was embarking upon the overwhelming task of rebuilding itself as a nation. The anti-Nazi Swiss-German theologian Karl Barth had just returned from exile in Switzerland to the University of Bonn to teach. Now, with the noise of cranes and earth movers in the background, standing in the midst of the bombed-out university, Barth began to teach his first lecture to a class of war-weary students. His very first sentence was, "I believe in God. I believe in God." These are also the first words of the Apostles' Creed. And they are an affirmation that is basic to our Christian faith. Faith is being able to confess your hope in the promises of God, believing them to be true while standing in the ruins. At one point or another, we are all going to find ourselves standing amidst the ruins. Where your faith be? From whence shall cometh your help, to quote the psalm? Where will your hope be? Faith is the assurance. Faith is conviction. But above all, faith is endurance. Faith is pressing forward, holding on, trusting that the promises of God are true and that the promises of God are for you, for you, for you, that the promises of God are for you and you and all y'all up there. The promises of God are for you and the promises of God are true. Come what may. Faith is trusting that what we believe is true. Faith is resting in hope. Now, we have 150 years behind us as a church here in this place. Some of those years great, some of those years not so great. Our church burnt down twice. We've had other rough times. But all the while, God was guiding us. God was loving us. God was being gracious to us. And so look at your own lives and see where the ruins have been. Look at your own lives and see where the ruins might be. And while you do that, look to Jesus. Cast your eyes upon him. And so I have faith. I honestly do. I have faith that God's got our church in the palm of his hand. And more than that, that God's got each one of you here in church today, whether it be your first time or whether you've been coming here for 60 years. I don't care. God knows you. And God loves you. And God died for you so that you might live. God's got you. Trust him. He says, come, I'm here. Trust me. I will never let you go. For I am with you always. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you like, look like, who you love, if you're healthy, sick, anxious, employed, unemployed, lonely, content, joyous. God's got you no matter what. God's got us. God's got First Pres, our country, the whole world. You know the song, he's got the whole world in his hand. That's a statement of faith, brothers and sisters. That's the statement of how things truly are. Believe it. God's got us. Keep the faith. Choose hope. Know Jesus. And hold on, because he'll never let go of you. This is the good news of the gospel. Thanks be to God. Amen and amen.